All right, so the Zoom call is now live and ready for you all to join in. And once that happens, Mandy, it's going to pull up on the screen and show us who's there. Hey, there's Sven. Hey, Sven.
Hello.
Hey, I can hear you.
Yeah, finally.
Hey, Ivan.
How are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good. Hello.
Chuck is sending a message saying he's active. Right now I'm only seeing Ivan. What happened to Sven? Hey, there we go. Hi, everybody. I see some Kilpatricks, Wardles. Hello, Chuck, how are you?
How about the share screen down there?
And here, so yeah, we can see everyone on the computer screen. On the phone, though, I can only see one at a time.
It's interesting. On my computer, I can only see the one who joins most recently. So I'm only seeing Kilpatrick's at the moment.
Oh, gallery view. Up there in the
top right
corner. There you go. Here we go.
Yeah,
we got
I can see you.
Perfect. All right, so the only one I can't see is Sven.
Can you see everyone, Ivan? Okay, now we can only see... yes, okay, we can see everyone now.
All right.
Hi, guys. Good to see you.
And you.
This is pretty awesome. So we've got various locations in Zambia represented right now and Germany. So, Ivan, where are you at right now? Ivan?
Yes.
Where are you located right now?
I'm in Zambia, in Kingola.
That's what I thought. All right. Well, this is certainly a new way of meeting for church, isn't it? Well, although I certainly look forward to when we're able to all be together physically again, this is a pretty good band-aid for the current problem, right? Sven, how are you all doing at getting settled in?
Yeah, we are doing okay. Yeah, it's cold here. We just have snow, a bit of snow.
Mandy's jealous.
It's cold here too. It's only 22 degrees.
Oh, okay. Very cold.
Well, I tried to upgrade my account so that if we waste a little bit of time trying to figure out our system, we still can continue on beyond 40 minutes. But we do know that for those who are meeting together, we need to be able to do it in an hour. So let's go ahead and get started. And it is recording this, so I'll be able to share it with those who are not able to be with us live right now, and hopefully it'll be an encouragement to everyone. So let's go ahead and we'll open in prayer, and then Nina, you'll have some songs ready for us?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and open in prayer. I'll go ahead and open this one, but maybe later we'll have different times where others can pray. And so if you're willing to volunteer for that, please let me know as we get to that section of the time together. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you now from our various locations, we want to thank you that through modern technology, we're able to still fellowship with one another, even as we are in isolation, trying to obey the government directives, those who have authority over us, that we might be able to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. And Lord, as we come to you now, we're so thankful that any time we pray, we have this kind of direct access to you. Whether we're in Germany, America, here in Zambia, Lord, we're so thankful that no matter what we are doing, no matter where we are, we can always come right before the very throne of grace to be able to thank you and to be able to worship you and to be able to make our requests known before you, because we know you care for us. And so in a world that is certainly going through challenging times, times of uncertainty, and for many people, times of great fear, we pray that we would be people who exhibit the peace that passes understanding, because we can cast all of our cares upon you, knowing that you care for us. And so we pray for our Bible study this morning, for our worship time this morning, that it would be encouraging to us all, and that our worship would be acceptable in your sight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Well, in light of the very thing that is keeping us all from gathering together in one place, I thought we should spend a bit of time just praying for those who might be in a more at-risk type situation for the coronavirus, no matter where they are in the world. And so we certainly want to pray for those who have traveled this week. So it's good to see Sven and his family was able to get safely back to Germany. Let's pray for the Mukuka family as well. What are some of the other updates regarding those who were attempting to fly out? Because I know there was some flight cancellations and delays. Do we have any updates? Okay, good. Nobody got stranded anywhere? Okay, great. Well, thank you. I know we've all been praying throughout the week, and it's good to see all of us in very good health. As you know, because of pre-existing conditions, we have some who are more likely to have a bad reaction if they were to get the coronavirus. And so, in addition to the fact that we hover right around the 50 mark as far as our attendance every week, some weeks we're over, some weeks we're under, but usually 47 to 60. And so because of that, it definitely would not have been good for us to meet together. And we know we've got Mandy, Lorelei, and was it Daniel also from the Simmons? Daniel?
Hayden.
Okay. So Hayden, who has asthma. And so we're just trying to be wise, certainly not in any fear. I think there's a misunderstanding out there that if you're taking precautions, then you must be in fear. I don't see why people want to go to extremes of if you do nothing, you're being brave. If you do something, you're being an extreme and in fear. I think there's just the balance of wisdom that we're trying to walk. And so thank you for the efforts that we're making to continue having our fellowship. God intended us to live in community, and yet at the same time, all you have to do is look at the Old Testament to see that within the Old Testament law, if people were sick or if there were certain things that could have caused them to be sick, such as coming in contact with a dead body. They weren't even sick, but they were considered ceremonially unclean for a certain amount of time and had to be outside of the community of Israel, outside of the camp for a while. And basically, that's what the situation is for all of us right now. To our knowledge, none of us are sick. None of us have contracted coronavirus. But since it has a 14-day incubation period, and since you can be spreading it even while you're seemingly healthy, it's kind of like we are following in the footsteps of those from the Old Testament days, where if they came in contact with a dead body, even though they were sick, they were quarantined for a while. So, that's basically the situation, and I would love to have one of you volunteer to pray for our congregation as we're scattered around Zambia and scattered around the world. Who would be willing to do that? Thank you. Who is the one that volunteered?
Stuart.
Stuart? All right, Stuart, go ahead.
Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are able to meet and manage either in person or as we can. Thank you that we have fellowship with one another. We can group together to be part of this church and to worship you and spend time with you. We should really pray for all those worried about this virus, all those who are feeling vulnerable, feeling anxious, that your peace will be on them. We just pray for good health. We pray for all around the world where there's bread. We pray for safety. We pray for protection. We pray that anyone who does get this virus just get mild symptoms. We pray for no super cases. We thank you for those who traveled and arrived safely. And we also thank you for the same right to Adeline for Aaron and Andrea and great protection on them to just lift up this nation, this world, you, and pray that you'll continue to protect, continue to give your peace and
amen. The audio cut out.
Probably you can still hear me, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, the connection.
Okay.
Yep. So it sounds like one of the connections froze up right as Stuart was closing in prayer. I'm glad he mentioned, though, that the Andersons are having a very good week down in Lusaka, and that we have a new healthy baby. How about you, Ivan? Can you still hear?
Yes, I can hear you and Sven.
Okay. All right. That's true. They might have.
But she should still be able to hear us. We just can't hear them if she muted it.
Yeah. I still am very pleased with how smoothly this is running with the internet speeds here in Zambia. So here's what I think we should do, because I know our time will be ticking away, is I'm going to go ahead and do the Bible study, and I would love for it to be interactive, and we'll just see how it goes from there, since this is our first time trying such technology. What I did was I tried to write on the board behind me the passages of scripture that I wanted us to look at today in case we ran into some problems. Hey, Chuck got theirs back on. Yep, we can hear you. Good job, Chuck. Okay, so let's go ahead and open up our Bibles to Psalm 119. Today we want to begin with Psalm 119 and start in verse 97. And the idea behind what we are doing today with our Bible study. We're still taking a break from our series about what is a local church, our series where we're trying to develop our own working definition of a local church. We will resume that, but for now, I think we really need to take this teachable moment that God has provided for us and make the most of these uncertain and unusual times. And I think God is providing us with some great opportunities to be able to spend more time alone with Him. Now, as we were going back and forth this week with our decision about what we would do for our church service today, I really appreciated the insights that many of you were providing, because a church is meant to be a community, a family. And part of that is assembling together as much as we are able. We're even told that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Well, I think we have recognized that's not our problem. We are going to great lengths to still assemble, even digitally. So at Chingola Church, we have a real commitment and a real desire to fellowship. We have a real commitment and desire for the community that God intends. But when we look through Scripture, we can also see that God took some very important and influential people through prolonged periods of isolation where they could just be alone with God. And I think that's one of the things that we have lost in our day and age, where we're able to travel around the world in less than 24 hours through an airplane, or travel great distances on land through our vehicles, where we're able to communicate nonstop through text messaging and phone calls and WhatsApp. And so because of that, I think we have lost the spiritual discipline of solitude with our Savior. And I would like for us to develop a commitment to both of these things as a church. Number one, what we're already doing, a commitment to gathering together, a commitment to the community of the family of God. But also utilizing times like this to really invest in spending time in solitude with God. And I think this is a wonderful opportunity that the Lord has presented us with. So I want us to start by reading in Psalm 119, starting in verse 97. And I'm going to ask for one of you to read it. This is one of the fun things about an interactive video meeting like this. If one of you would read for us Psalm 119, starting in verse 97 and going all the way down to verse 104. And as you're turning there, I'll just give you some background that this psalm was one of the songs that the people of Israel would use to worship the Lord. And it is a very, very long psalm. And the entire song is dedicated to the power of the Bible, the power of God's Word to open up our spiritual eyes and to transform our way of living. And so with that in mind, I would like us to start in verse 97. Who would read that for us?
I can read it.
Was that Sven?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Sven.
Okay, Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me. You make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong step.
Thank you, Sven. I hope we can all say the same thing that the psalmist said, that we truly love the Bible, that we truly love God's law, and that we meditate on it all day long. So, if we're going to do that, let's just think about what we would need to do. What actions would be involved with meditating on God's Word? What do you think? Exactly. You have to read it before you can meditate on it. You first have to input it into your brain so that you can start thinking over it. So yeah, reading your Bible. How often?
Every day.
Yeah, every day. Is there any particular time of day that might be better than another?
Maybe in the morning.
Okay, or Ivan says maybe in the morning. Why do you think morning?
I think maybe if the post of pain, very post of pain, the way we do in the beginning of the day is to read the Bible, and then we will have good guidance from God. Then we will know what to do and how to do it. The things within the whole day. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a very wise time to read your Bible, because you haven't had a chance to make a lot of mistakes in the day yet. It's preventing problems rather than trying to correct them. So yeah, and then you can truly meditate on what you read all day long, because you started first thing in the morning. Is that the only time that we should read the Bible?
No, obviously not. I think whenever we have time, we should take the time to study and read the Bible.
I agree. So what would that look like in an everyday average life?
Yeah, I mean, this is different from each person, depending on your work and whatever. If you have time in the morning, then maybe you're having a lunch break, or in the afternoon when your kids are otherwise busy or out of the house, you still can take the time and read, or in the evening when it's quiet.
Yes. Excellent points. Everybody's life is different, and everybody's life is busy, wouldn't we agree?
Yes.
Even the kids that are watching today, your lives are busy, right? So, yeah, it might not be filled with school at the moment, but it might be filled with lots of other chores around the house. So, do you think that you're going to read the Bible by accident when you have a busy life, or are you going to have to do it on purpose?
You have to do it on purpose, and then you need discipline.
Exactly. So, I think we all need to make a commitment to block out time in our day to read the Bible, to really think over it, to meditate, to dwell upon it. And then there are some other things that God brings into our lives that are spontaneous things that perhaps He's allowing us to have the time to focus in on, but we don't stop and take the time. Have any of you had such an experience this week that maybe God provided an opportunity for you to read His Word at a time that you weren't planning on or expecting for? And if so, describe that for us.
It wasn't the Bible, it was your messages. Yeah, whenever I had time to look at my phone, and then I got your encouraging messages in 2 or 3 points, then always recall the Bible. It was
Good. Well, that was my intention. How many of you got messages like that from various sources this week? Anybody get anything on Facebook?
We are not on Facebook.
Okay.
And I mean, there are also other groups like the Chingola Leech groups or whatever where you get messages, but to be honest myself, I don't trust all the things. So I trusted you to read the message, but others I skip. I don't read anything.
Well, I think you just brought up a really good point. There are a lot of things that are floating out there on WhatsApp groups and on Facebook and other internet sources that are intended to be encouraging, but they're not always biblical. And so we definitely want to be discerning on that. And what I want to do with the remainder of our very brief time is just encourage us all to do two things. Number one, I would encourage us all to take the time to really get alone with God. I have not shared this on our WhatsApp group yet, but I did put it on the Facebook page for Chingola Church. I wrote an article entitled, "Christian, how are you investing your quarantine time? Are you investing it in eternity or in entertainment?" I don't know if any of you got to see that yet. Did any of you read it?
Yes.
Ivan did. Okay, good. Probably not a lot because I haven't put it on the WhatsApp group yet, but I'm going to. And instead of just sending it in writing, I wanted that to be our challenge for today. So we saw the psalmist talk about how much he loves the Word of God, and I want us to be equally dedicated and passionate about spending time alone in God's Word. And I want to challenge us, based off of Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, to not lay up for ourselves treasures here on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but rather to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And one of the ways that we do that is by spending time in God's Word. Because the truths that we learn and the transformation that it makes in our own spiritual lives, they can never be stolen from us. It's an investment in your character. So that would be the first challenge. And the second challenge that I have is that we would then share those lessons with others. Just like Carola talked about me sending out messages to encourage, you can do the same. They don't have to be long. They don't have to be as in-depth as the ones that I have been sending out. But just something encouraging from God's Word that you learned that you think we could use as well. So those are the two things that I would like us to really do this week. And to do that, we're going to have to say no to some other things. So I'm going to encourage you to say no to Netflix. Now, I love a good movie. I love entertainment, and I believe God created us to enjoy life. But enjoyment of life is not all that this life is about. And the book of Ecclesiastes really makes that clear. We should have a balanced perspective where, yes, we enjoy the work of our hands, but we live a life that is pleasing to the Lord and has developed a strong relationship with Him. And so, if we're not able to get out into the community as much as we normally could, it means that we don't have the excuses that we used to make regarding of why we didn't have time to spend reading the Bible or praying. You know, we look around this world and we see lots of people with lots of different economic statuses. You know, we look at that and we say, wouldn't it be nice if I had the amount of money they have? You know, they're rich and I feel like I'm poor in comparison. But when it comes to time, nobody's rich, nobody's poor. Each one of us gets 24 hours in a day and each of us gets 7 days in a week. So how many of those hours are you spending with God? How much of your time are you using to become mature in your faith? How much of your time are you investing into a real relationship with the Savior who loved you so much that he demonstrated it in the greatest way possible by laying down his own life so that we could have that relationship with him? Now, how many of you would say, I'm not spending as much time in God's Word and in prayer as I know that I should? How many of you would say that? Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we've always had all sorts of things that were pulling at our attention that even if you were very deliberate and even if you were trying to make time for it, it was like it was being stolen from you. A couple months back, we were at Nsobe Game Camp, and we were staying at the bush camp where they put out the maize, and they were using, I think, mealy 3, the small, finely ground mealy. And they put it out there so that the impala and the zebra and all of those things would come in and we could watch them eat. But do you know what happened to that mealy? It was carried off by an enormous hive of bees. As we watched just a small little bee come in, it would come, grab some of it, fly away. And the thousands and thousands of bees that kept coming would grab the mealy, and we could watch like one of those hourglasses with the sand trickling through. You could literally watch the pile of mealy dwindle until by the time the animals came in, they only had maybe 30% left of what the workers originally put out there for them to eat. And I think that describes what happens to us in our everyday lives. We say, today, I'm going to spend time reading the Bible. Today, I'm going to pray. And then some little thing comes in. We get a notification on WhatsApp. Ding! And it's like a little bee stealing a little bit of our time. Just 30 seconds. And then another one. Ding, 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 ding. And before long, a whole hour has gone by that you were intending to spend in God's Word, and you haven't even opened it yet. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yes.
Yeah. Every day, right? You've got workers who are coming to you needing opinions, needing advice. You've got children, you've got parents coming to you telling you to wash the dishes and clean your room, you know, and all of these things are good things, but sometimes they keep us from the best thing. And so for 16 years now, I have been in vocational ministry, either as a pastor or as a missionary, and everyone always tells me that they want to spend more time in God's Word. They want to spend more quiet time with God. And yet, they say they just don't have enough time. And I believe that this global pandemic has just freed up our schedules so that we actually have the time. We really don't have any excuse to not spend it in God's Word now. And I would like to really challenge us and say, we never really did have an excuse because we always make time for what is most important to us. The problem is spending time alone with God does require discipline, as Carola mentioned. It requires some hard work to sit still, to be quiet, and to just focus in on something for a while. I know it doesn't sound like hard work when you say it that way, but it really is hard, isn't it? So, here's what I'm challenging us to do. And men, I'm challenging you most of all because God's Word makes it clear that men, we are the head of our households. So, if you are a husband, you're supposed to be the spiritual leader, providing an example and leadership to your wife. If you are a father, you're supposed to be providing it to your children. As Christians, we're supposed to be providing such leadership to our communities as well. And so, men, I know most of us struggle with reading. Men are known for being people of action. We want to go out and do. But before you can do something, you must first be the man that you need to be. And so that comes from spending time in God's Word. And what I'm going to do is just challenge us to block out time. I'm going to challenge us to live out what we see in Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Would one of you read that for us? Ephesians chapter 5. Ivan, can you read that for us? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16.
Yes, okay. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of their time, because the days are evil.
Okay. So, two things. First, it says that we should be walking. How? How should we be going about life?
Wise, not unwise.
Exactly. So it tells us that we should be going throughout life, walking in a way that demonstrates wisdom. How would we define wisdom?
Wisdom comes from God.
Okay, it definitely comes from God. And what is wisdom?
Knowledge about God.
Okay. So I would agree with you. It starts with knowledge, but it goes further than just knowledge.
Knowledge and then application in daily life and then spreading it to others. So it's more like God's giving you the opportunity, then you've taken it to learn knowledge, and then God's helping you understand what you've learned, then you apply it, and then you hand it on.
Exactly. So knowledge is the beginning, and then you apply that knowledge in practical ways to your everyday life. So wisdom would be the appropriate application of knowledge to life. That's what we all desire, isn't it? The appropriate application of knowledge to life. So we start by getting the knowledge, and we get wisdom only from God, and then we apply it to our lives in the way that we live. So, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. It's not just knowing the right thing, it's doing the right thing that you know to do. And then it even tells us how we should do that. Make the best use of your time. So that's my challenge to us this week. To make the best use of our time by spending it in God's Word. And so I'm going to challenge you, especially men, I'm going to challenge you to set some goals in time for how to spend time with God. You know, we're not stuck at home. We are privileged to be at home, getting a chance to catch up on these things. We are blessed to be at home. We're safe at home so that we can now build our alone time with God. So, here's a few things I'm going to challenge you with. Four areas to make a goal. Number one, set a goal in how much time you will spend reading the Bible each day. Okay? So everyone, boys, girls, parents, it doesn't matter who you are. Everybody right now, I want you to think about and set a goal for how much time you will spend reading the Bible this week, every day. Okay? Number two, set a goal of how much time you will spend in prayer. So in the Bible, God is talking to you. In prayer, you are talking to God. It's a conversation. Number three, set aside a goal of how much time you will spend reading books that would deepen your understanding and application of the Bible. I have several behind me that are nice, small books that would really help us when it comes to developing into being a local church. This one is called Understanding the Congregation's Authority. Look how little that is. It's easy reading, but it's very important reading. On the other side of that, we would have Understanding Church Leadership. Now, these are small little books, and I know they don't do you a lot of good if you don't have them, but they are also available through electronic books. And so I'm going to be looking at that option and sending you links about where you could find them, and perhaps we could even read through some of these together and have Zoom meetings to discuss them and apply them. Okay, so that's another option. A fourth goal that I would like to challenge you with is set a goal of how much time you will spend listening to sermons or lessons, seminars or interviews that you can do through YouTube. You can do through podcasts. We live in a day where we've never had this much access to biblical truth in human history. So in the past, their excuse was, well, we just don't have access to things, but they had plenty of time. In our day and age, we're saying we don't have time, but we certainly have access to everything. Well, in our quarantine times, I would like to suggest that we merge these because we have no excuse. We have the time and the access to these things. Now, I do know you also have other things to do, and if you haven't been doing these things for a while, you might start feeling a little weak. Like, if you haven't exercised for a while, and then you decide you're just going to go out and run 10 kilometers, you're probably going to feel pretty miserable the next day, right? Yeah? You probably won't even finish 10 kilometers, right? What about if you were lifting weights? You know, you're remembering the days whenever you could really bench press some heavy weight, and you start off with that same amount only to have it come crushing down upon your chest or your neck. Not a good feeling, right? Well, same thing with setting these goals. I would say start with a reasonable amount. So let me give you a scenario. Let's say 10 minutes of Bible reading. If you started with just 10 minutes of reading the Bible, that seems manageable, right? And maybe as you're going through, what I would encourage you to do is not just read it, but underline things, write down truths that apply to you, and I'll send you some more resources, questions that you can ask for application. And what I would like you to do is at the end of every day that you've read, just answer two simple questions. What was God saying in that passage? And then how can you apply it to your life? So you're getting knowledge and you're getting wisdom. What did God say? And how can I apply it? Okay? Well, if you read a chapter of the Bible and just answer those two questions, you've easily filled up 10 minutes. And you're not exhausted. You're not mentally exhausted. You're not spiritually exhausted. Okay, now, let's add a little bit to that. That might be your weightlifting. Now let's do some cardio. 10 minutes of prayer. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot of time until you actually start praying. 10 minutes in prayer can seem very long at first. What I find that helps me is that I make a list and I pray through my list. And then I do it, I start with my own self, what God needs to continue to do in me to transform me and change me. And then I pray for each one of my family. And then I pray for each one of you. And that alone will take more than 10 minutes. But Mandy has a different approach. Mandy, describe your approach for prayer with your journal.
I keep it like more like a prayer diary because I get so distracted while I'm praying. So if I'm not writing my prayer out, then I'll start on like my prayer list and I'll get halfway done and I'm daydreaming and then I have to pull myself back. But usually I'll go through my Bible reading And then my prayer journal as I'm writing is me processing through what I just read. And so, like, if I go back and I read through my prayer journal, I can see where I start with this, you know, thinking through the scripture that I've just read, and almost all of my prayers end up in understanding and application. And then I do go through my prayer list. I have a daily list, and then I have a different list for each day of the week. But my time in scripture and just that personal time with the Lord where I really feel like He is speaking into me is my prayer diary, where I'm writing out my prayer. And that helps me to stay focused. And as I'm writing, you know, the Spirit speaks to me and to my heart, and it, I think it slows me down to allow that time for the Spirit to speak as well.
So, have any of you ever tried that before? Does it help you also?
Yes, I have also been because, yes. And then you can always, when someone comes or something comes to you up, I add it to my list, yes, especially prayer. I stop praying for other people with names, or now for church, or for special things. And it is helpful, of course, and it's also nice. After a while, you can see, oh, it's fulfilled. I can be thankful for it, yes, and yes, it was a prayer point, and now an answer of prayer. I find it quite helpful.
Yeah. So, for those who have never tried either of those ways, try it this week. Either make a prayer list, or if you're the kind that gets distracted even more by a list, then write it out. Like, when Mandy's writing in her journal, she's literally writing out a prayer to God. You could read her prayer. It is, it's a beautiful thing, because it really is a conversation. It keeps the focus in place. Okay, so let's just say you did 10 minutes a day reading the Bible and answering those two questions. What was God saying, and how can I apply it to my life? Then you spend 10 minutes in prayer. Okay, you might need a break. That's fine, take a break. But then later in the day, get out a book like this. This one is Understanding Church Leadership. The introduction is only 5 pages, and I would say it would take you, it's a small book. You're looking at maybe 10 minutes to read that. Underline the things that you think are helpful, or things that you want to explore more deeply. 10 minutes. Right there, you've already spent 30 minutes alone with God, gaining wisdom, so that you can apply it to your life. Walking not as unwise, but as wise. Redeeming this time. Because obviously, look around. The world around us is evil. The days are evil. But we can use this as really good time. Then the last thing that I would say is get online and the sermons that we post on sermonaudio.com or other podcasts, on average, they're going to be 30 minutes to 1 hour in length. And if you just listen to one of those a day, you know, yesterday was George's birthday, and so I was doing all of her chores for her. I was washing dishes, and what was I doing while washing dishes? I was listening to one of the podcasts. The Word of God was penetrating my mind, and I was able to meditate on it while I was still doing the everyday tasks of life. You can listen to them while you're driving in the car, while you're brushing horses, while you're whatever it might be. You can spend time with God. And so, let's just say you did a 30-minute podcast, 10 minutes of reading, 10 minutes of God's Word, 10 minutes of prayer. There's an hour. So let me ask you, when was the last time that you spent an hour alone with God in a 24-hour period?
Today.
Yeah, today. Good. For some, it's every day. For some, it's not enough, right?
It's right now.
Yeah? Yep. So, here's my challenge. Make goals and then share them with each other. Share them maybe on our WhatsApp group. Say, hey, Jamie's goal is this. and then we can hold each other accountable, okay?
Yeah.
Let's accept the challenge. Okay, so who's going to volunteer to close us in prayer today?
Okay, I'm going to make it.
Toby's going to close us in prayer, and Nina and Carola are going to lead us in our last song. So, thanks. Go ahead, Toby.
Father, thank you that we can come before you and, learn all the things, how to communicate with you, how to keep our relationship with you, and how to, hear more from you through the Bible. And we want to, really take on this challenge. That we take our time and set our prayer to try to speak. Yes, we thank you for that time we have at the moment in this coronavirus to be more with you and let us learn to build up this relationship also after the coronavirus. And more time for you. We thank you for this broadcasting time and we thank you for saying for this work and we just want to ask you now for such a time for our way.
Amen.
Amen.